亚。
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated, and I'd like to invite the children to come forward. We have enough room for everybody. Everybody comfortable? Hi. It's so great to see that some of you are using your worship toolkits and lighting your candles for worship. Thank you for bringing those up. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about giving thanks. What are some of the things that we give thanks for? Okay, we can say thank you to Jesus. Good. We say thank you for video games. Okay. Yeah. When else do we say thank you? For food, okay. Someone ever, oh, Julian? For life, very good. Okay, how about when someone helps us? Do we say thank you? Why do we say thank you? Okay, we appreciate what we have or what we experience. Very good, Adam. Today we hear a story about a group of people who are in need. They have a disease on their skin, and that means that they can't even live with the rest of the people. And they come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, Master, help us, have mercy on us." And Jesus helps them. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And the priests are the ones who had to say, "Okay, they're healed." So as they're going, they're already healed. Jesus helps them right there. And only one of them comes back. Only one of them comes back and says thank you to Jesus. Can you imagine such a great, amazing gift and not saying thank you for it? But you know what? Sometimes we forget to say thank you for a lot of things, right? We don't always take time to say thank you. We don't always take time to appreciate everything we've been given. So the answer to our question is we can say thank you for everything. Yeah. God has given us amazing things in this world, and all of them are gifts. And so whether we think about video games or family or Jesus or all the things that we've mentioned, those are all reasons for us to say thank you to God, because God has blessed us by giving us all those things. So as we go this week, I'd invite you to remember to say thank you whenever something good happens, okay? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, you give us so many gifts. Your love, Jesus, our family and friends who love us and take care of us, food on our tables, and all the good things in life. Help us to remember that all these gifts come from you, and help us to remember to say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming up, everybody.
One more. What?
We could, if we forget to say thank you, we could say thank you again if we want to.
Exactly. That's very good. Yes. Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As many of you know, I love baseball, and with the October playoffs happening, baseball has been on my mind. My love of the sport, though, is not just about the game itself. It was a source of bonding with my late father, who started taking me to games even before I was old enough to understand what was going on. But because of him, because of his love for the game and the history that he knew and understood and shared, I learned to love the entirety of the game. The game itself, but also the environment, the customs, the differences between the various ballparks, the interesting history and trivia, and the characters who play the game. And one such character that I remember distinctly was a relief pitcher named Dan Quisenberry. The bulk of his career was in the 1980s. He had a huge mustache and threw not very fast by major league standards with an odd sidearm, almost underhand delivery. He was also well known for his humility and self-deprecating humor. One time he came out of a slump with that aforementioned strange delivery and said, "I found a delivery in my flaw," instead of "a flaw in my delivery." He was consistently one of the best in the league. He won several awards and helped the Kansas City Royals to win the World Series in 1985. But after his career in the 1990s, Dan Quisenberry was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of brain cancer. My clearest memory of him is in an interview that he did around that time with the ESPN Sports Network. Instead of focusing on the dire circumstances he was facing, Quisenberry spoke of nothing but gratitude for the life and the opportunities and the experiences he had enjoyed. He said, "I'll have a friend ask me, 'Do you ever say, why me?' I can't really ask that, because why not me? I've had so much go well," he said. "I wouldn't wish this on anybody, so why not me? Ultimately, my days are moved by the one who creates time, the God in whom he placed his faith and trust." The ESPN piece concludes with video footage over which the announcer says, "The images are of a man of rare perspective and humor, grounded in family and, of course, in faith." Quisenberry died in 1998 at the age of 45. I continue to find Quisenberry's perspective and ultimate sense of gratitude inspiring, and he came to mind as I read our gospel for this week. I also feel humbled by his example because so often I can tend to focus more on what isn't or what is not going well rather than celebrating and being grateful for what is. Though I think this is a pretty common inclination, when we are preoccupied with the stuff of life, when we're struggling with work or finances or relationships, when we're emotionally drained, when we're not feeling well or suffering from chronic illness, it's easy to lose sight of the big picture. It's easy to focus on the struggles. When we become consumed by them, we also become consumed by our fears and anxieties, and we get so deep into things that we just don't see things. We don't see the bigger picture. We become unable to recognize the good and unable to live in gratitude for the many blessings we have. This week's gospel again comes from Luke after several chapters of chronicling Jesus' teaching. And here Luke moves the story to Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, where he will, of course, face his crucifixion and his death. While the readings leading up to this challenged us to re-examine our commitment to discipleship through difficult teachings, today we find pretty much pure good news, God's unconditional grace and mercy through Jesus. But this is much more than a miracle story, for that part is done merely three verses into the reading. The focus here is on the response, or lack thereof, the response to the grace of God that is experienced and received. As the reading begins, Jesus is going along the borderlands. Luke's gospel is concerned throughout with breaking down borders and distinctions and divisions, erasing lines between people. So this is a significant part of Luke's setup. And Luke places Jesus in the region between Samaria and Galilee. But geographically, this doesn't work. There is no region between Samaria and Galilee. The lands border one another. But this location at the border puts Jesus in range to encounter people from Samaria, from a different land that were often at odds with the Jewish people. And so despite the artificial divides between them, Jesus' movement here is dynamic. The text says he is going through. Jesus is on the move. He is going to make things happen. So on his way, as he approaches a village, 10 people suffering from leprosy approach him. And of course, this can be a biblical term for any variety of skin diseases. Because of the understandings of the disease at that time and the ritual laws of cleanliness, there was always an established divide for people suffering from leprosy. They were required to avoid contact with others, to keep their distance, and to live outside the camp, past the edges of the settlements, and thus past the edges of normal society. The translation here doesn't do Luke any favors, though, because throughout his gospel, Luke is intentional in humanizing people, in honoring the unique personhood and dignity of everyone. So in the original text, those who approach Jesus are not called lepers, but they are called people who had leprosy. And Jesus sees them. This is the same word that's used in the parable of the Good Samaritan, who sees the needs of the injured man on the road and tends to them. This seeing goes beyond the physical act of visual confirmation, and it implies a compassionate recognition, an understanding, an honoring of the person and their unique situation and needs. And as they come nearer to Jesus, the 10 people with leprosy raise a voice. They cry out in unison, which could represent our collective human need before God. In many cases, the request of a person in need, both then and today, is for alms, for immediate and temporary relief from their concerns. But since Jesus is the embodiment of God's generosity and grace, here he goes so much further. Jesus immediately tells them to go and show themselves to the priests whose job it was to verify that the disease was gone and that they were now ritually clean. The imminent healing is implied, and the text says that they were healed as they went. They will be restored to wellness, to community, to worship, to normal life, and the opportunities before them are seemingly endless. We can understand their eagerness in wanting to get on to better things. But only the one turns back, and he does so because Luke tells us that he also sees. Seeing that he was healed, he returns, humbling himself at Jesus' feet, glorifying God with a loud voice. Again, this does not just mean that the healed man is confirming the change in his skin condition, but he is grasping the deeper significance of what has happened, of the one whose mercy he has just encountered. Luke adds that the one healed was a Samaritan, one that the original audience again may not have expected to be the example of proper faithfulness and response. The distinctions between God's people in Luke's gospel continue to be broken down. And here Jesus' following questions can serve as a challenge for all of Jesus' other followers and for us. Have we too not been given great gifts? Where are we, so to speak? Where are our minds, our hearts, in those moments when God's grace is revealed, when it's time to pause and praise God, giving thanks before we rush on to the next thing? Again, as I said with the children, it's not always something we remember to think about. Jesus is touching here on another of our natural inclinations. When things are going well, when something positive happens, we don't always think about God. We don't always take that moment to express our thanks. When we've struggled for a time and things are resolved, when we're feeling terrible and then we recover, we're so eager to get back to our normal activities that we skip right past gratitude, as the other 9 people do in this gospel. Instead of pausing to give thanks, we tend to head right back into the patterns of this hectic life that wore us down in the first place. Jesus concludes by saying to the healed Samaritan man, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Through faith, this grateful man receives the grace and mercy of God. And Jesus, who will demonstrate God's love for the world and ensure the promise of salvation and life through his coming death and resurrection, raises him up too, not just from his humble position at Christ's feet, but raises him up to new beginnings and new life. The man is healed, he is restored to community, he is restored and raised up to the full range of potential experience intended for God's people. Today's gospel, I think, challenges us not to take for granted that we deserve good things, not to presume that God owes us smooth sailing because we have faith. We might say we're not called to just pay attention to God when we need something, as if God is our divine genie in the lamp. We're invited to embrace instead all that is good in our lives with a sense of gratitude that it ultimately comes from God, the one who moves our days and creates our time, as Dan Quisenberry said. God's grace continues to be poured out to us abundantly, in word and sacrament, in water, wine, and bread, at the font and at the table, and in this community together in unexpected ways, both subtle and profound. Sure, it can sound cliche, but the more we experience in life, the more we're able to see the truth that every day, every relationship, every bit of joy and love we experience is a gift from the gracious God who created us, who has given us all that we have and all that we are. So we too turn back to God, like the Samaritan in today's gospel, to offer ourselves in humble thanksgiving and to raise our voices together in praise before we are sent on our way once again. Amen.